Moving is one of the more stressful events in life. A few years ago, Linda McCarriston moved from New England to Alaska to teach at the University of Alaska in Anchorage in their new Department of Creative Writing and Literary Arts. We asked her to read us a poem about the move. McCarriston last joined us to read from her book Eva Mary, which included several disturbing autobiographical poems about how her father beat her mother and how she and her mother sometimes fled to a shelter. The success of that book led her to read and speak not only at schools and colleges, but at prisons, public libraries, adult literacy programs, and women's shelters. Here's Linda McCarriston's poem, Last Frontier, about her move to Alaska.
Last Frontier. Divorced, 50, she took the first good job that offered itself, outfitted a pickup, and drove alone to Alaska. It was not her myth. It was a man's myth. Odometer rolling over every tenth of the 5,000 miles like dice. Who knew what could happen? How many spruces did she pass? They turned from Norway to red to Sitka. The lakes went from bass black to the blue of glacier. Her myth had been the pie at the end of the rainbow she'd polished for 30 years. Mother, wife. Her myth was just this side of tatting doilies. Clabbered house painted white. Time, finally, to write. Her kids and their kids, yes, coming Sundays. One of the men whose lives she'd lugged, various and weighty as tinker's wagons, by her. But for the sending switch and the oil pressure unit, she made the trip eventlessly. Her dog, sleeping days while she drove, at night played the role of grown son or husband. Watched out. Her first year done with, her 51st year, she recalls the memorable best of it. A manicure every second Saturday in a cinder block strip mall. Stormy, her nail tech.
Linda, why did you end that poem with the memory of manicures?
Because the first year that I was in Alaska, living in a log cabin 50 miles north of Anchorage, alone. About the most gratifying personal contact I had was going every 2 weeks to a nail salon, chatting with the girls, and getting my nails done. It was the most comforting thing that I experienced that first year.
In your poem, you write that going to Alaska, it was a man's myth, not her myth.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about Alaska that wasn't your myth?
Well, as I say in the poem, my myth was that around the time I would be hitting 50, my long stint as housewife and mother would be bearing fruit, and I would be quietly entering my writing studio, not going on a great adventure, not heading into the great unknown with all of these challenges and perils around me, bears and wolves and people stomping moose and you know, 40 below zero and long winter nights. I felt that the male myth was a myth of conquest and discovery and adversity. And in fact, I felt as though, in many ways, I'd had plenty of adversity close to home and didn't really need it in the landscape.
When we were talking before the interview, you described the poem that you just read as a poem about economic necessity in the life of a menopausal woman. And I'm wondering how going through menopause or having come through the other end, whichever, is affecting, if at all, your experience of Alaska and of uprooting yourself.
Mm-hmm. First of all, of course, like many of my contemporaries, I'm taking Premarin or whatever. So where I am in menopause, I really don't know. But like most women of my generation, I'll be 54 this summer. I mean, I really did grow. I mean, I came of age before the social revolution of the 60s, and I really did expect to kind of be sitting in a rocking chair and taken care of by my mid-50s. I certainly didn't expect to be going off on the kind of adventure that would have been more appropriate when I was 17 or 22, and my mother would have had hysterics if I had decided at that point to undertake it. So yes, I mean, I in a way, coming here, I drove this pickup truck of mine right smack into all of the limitations and all the fears and all the constraints about growing old as a woman with which I grew up. And as much as I have kind of lived against those day by day, they're still there. They still live there. And on the other side of it, not of menopause necessarily, but on the other side of this journey, there's part of me that's really delighted that I did. I'm really happy that I did that and that I confronted those fears and limitations in my psyche in this very physical way, because I did do it. And in many ways, I love my life in Alaska, and I love the sense that I have of that being an adventure, and it certainly is. Most of my friends back in the lower 48 think it's quite a marvel that I did this, although being up here, I realized that the people who did it 30 and 40 and 50 years ago were the real pioneers.
Do you think that the climate and the remoteness of Alaska is affecting your writing?
Well, what's more, what really has affected my writing, not only the last couple of years, but the few years before it, was the transition that's going on as the background of this Last Frontier poem, which is to go from having been married and teaching part-time as an adjunct and raising kids and all of that stuff to finding and committing myself to and becoming successful in a full-time job in the academy. I mean, this is a very tough time in higher education, and beginning faculty particularly come into jobs where the expectation is that you're just going to be putting out 70 hours a week. And it's very, very difficult to do or to have done a good job these last 2.5 years, or almost 3 years now, and to have kept alive that part of myself that's paying attention to my own creative life and the language and the poems. That's been, I think, more oppressive than anything else. I actually have been writing here in Alaska. I don't have as much done as I would like, and I'm not quite sure about some of the things I've done, but I think I'll be able to write, and I don't mind the winters. They're not, you know, a lot of people come up here because it's an improvement in the winter weather. I mean, people from Minnesota come up here and just about wear T-shirts all winter because it's so much better. But I feel that I'll be able to write in Alaska. I am writing in Alaska. I just need the settledness and the time to do it. And the climate's fine with me.
I don't know if you experience this, but I know sometimes when I move, like from one location to another, it takes me a while to dream in the new location. My dreams are set in the old place, and I'm wondering if it took you a while to dream in the new location, and if it's taken you a while to write in your new location.
Well, yes, and let me mention, Terry, that about the 5 years prior to coming up here, I think I moved 3 times in Vermont, and then I moved to Cambridge, Massachusetts, to be at the Bunting Institute, and then I moved to Washington, D.C., to be at George Washington University, and then I came here, and I lived in a log cabin 50 miles north, and then I moved into town. So my dreams are still down at the post office trying to get my forwarding address. They're saying, Where the heck is this woman? And it's tremendously dislocating. Moving for me is profoundly dislocating, and I have done it about 8 times in 7 years, and a lot is still catching up with me. And so, yes, I don't just plop myself down in a new place and write well. And so I agree with that.
Linda McCarriston teaches at the University of Alaska in Anchorage. This is Fresh Air.